Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants, forever." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. And let us borrow the words of Martin Luther and pray. Behold, Lord, an empty vessel that needs to be filled. My Lord, fill it. I am weak in the faith. Strengthen me. I am cold in love. Warm me and make me fervent, that my love may go out to my neighbor. O Lord, help me, strengthen my faith and trust in you. With me there is an abundance of sin. In you is the fullness of righteousness. Therefore I will remain with you, whom I can receive, but to whom I may not give. Amen. Well, on this fourth Sunday, our Advent waiting seems to be almost over. Today we behold Mary, who is full of faith and brimming with great expectations. Her fullness was brought about by God literally. And in order to be filled, she first needed to be empty. Are we, like Mary, prepared to empty ourselves so that God can fill us? Empty is a feeling. Empty is also a declaration of scarcity, which implies that there is a need present. It is a feeling or reality that we often wish to hide because we don't like to admit our neediness. Perhaps that is why we have been reluctant as a congregation until now to speak candidly and honestly about our weak stewardship and our endowment, which is quickly dwindling. But beyond our individual bank accounts and the church's accounts, today is a day to come clean regarding our spiritual needs, our empty faith, and our need for a handout from God to fill our ravenous souls. And this honest assessment of our spiritual being is good news. This is the news that is worthy of song. Now, if you're fighting acknowledging that you're an empty vessel that needs to be filled, remember, denial is one of the stages of grief. And we all need to grieve. To grieve the illusion that our busy holiday activities actually fill the void that we have. On some level, we probably know this to be true, and that is why so much eggnog is consumed during the holidays. But let's come clean today. We are empty vessels, period. And we are in need of a fill-up. When we admit our powerlessness in filling our own tank of faith and find ourselves humbly kneeling before God, we are in a position to receive Mary's magnificent song and make that song our own. Luther was so moved by Mary's song that he wrote nearly 50 pages of commentary for his beloved Prince Frederick the Wise of Saxony. Mary is for Luther the prime example of the humble servant that willingly and joyfully allows herself to be filled and therefore governed by God. Luther wanted to warn the wise Frederick from becoming too full of himself and in his arrogance fail to leave room for God's grace and guidance. Luther stated that riches, accolades, and even intellectual hubris were the kind of junk that needs to be shoveled away. And Luther hoped that Mary's song would help Frederick to willingly accept God's governance and would enable him to graciously rule over his subjects. For Luther, humble submission was necessary for survival and essential for healing, because God acts in a predictable fashion, consistent with God's previous actions in the history of salvation. Luther states, God is the kind of Lord who does nothing but exalt those of low degree and put down the mighty from their thrones. In short, break what is whole and make whole what is broken. Mary was full of life, pregnant with a divine gift for all of humanity. Meister Eckhart, a 14th century German Dominican mystic, taught that the real meaning of Christmas is not only that God's Son was born unto Mary, but that Christ is born in each of us. His most famous sermon was preached on Christmas morning. And in it, he remarks that St. Augustine was fond of preaching that the birth of Christ is an event that happens continually. But Eckhart added that if the birth does not happen within and through me, then what good is that birth? God's birth must happen in each of us. The following is a song that was penned by Meister Eckhart. O Christians, what good behooves you to kneel at mangers of wood to praise the unreal? Lullaby, good night, a Savior is born to waken the light within us this morn. Your God and your soul are figures of speech to that which is whole, mere words cannot reach. Lullaby, good night, a Savior is born to waken the light within us this morn. And whoso all lays waste to self he deserts, all semblance and taste of pleasure or mirth. Lullaby, good night, a Savior is born to waken the light within us this morn. Then out of the void a word came to me and spoke of a joy too deep to be seized. Lullaby, good night, a Savior is born to waken the light within us this morn. I know some of you are saying, hey, I'm too old to have a baby. Well, I'm sure that you can remember more than one biblical account that rejected that kind of logic. In fact, such was the case with Elizabeth, Mary's cousin and John's mother, whom Mary greets today. Or you might say, I'm too young. Mary was only 15. So what kind of prenatal care, what kind of nesting activities could we engage in if we were to believe that we are full of Christ and that we will give birth to God in a few more days? For starters, how about singing a song, Mary's song? A messenger from God brought Mary the news that God chose her to be the Theotokos, or God-bearer. She embraced that news and felt honored and privileged. She burst into song. She was so overjoyed that God would use her life to bring to life the life that would save all of life, that she sang about it. Is our reaction the same? Or are we still unwilling to come to terms with our own pregnancy? Are we full of doubt and apprehension? Yet did we not receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at our own baptism? Do we not feast upon Christ, taking him into our broken vessels each time we partake in the sacred meal of Holy Communion? Gabriel's announcement to Mary would mean that she would have a hard time explaining her condition to Joseph, and that she would have to go through labor pains. But we too will be stretched to speak of the miracle that God is doing within us to those around us. They might want to dismiss us quietly as Joseph wanted to of Mary, thinking that we are insane. And the pains will continue. For if we are really, truly to give birth to Christ this Christmas, each one of us, we will have to confront our own grieving and push through it in hope. We will have to do battle with our financial insecurities, giving generously. We will have to bind up our emotional fragility. But can we not believe that God will intervene yet again in our lives to ensure that we, like Mary, can continue our mission to completion? And as far as those pains go, can we not hold on to each other's hands and squeeze, trusting that the Holy Spirit will be our breathing coach? Mary's visit to Elizabeth is beautiful in that they both shared a royal state of being. The fruit of their wombs would change the world forever. They were able to encourage each other, listen to each other, strengthen each other, and above all, love each other. Can we not also do the same for the brother or sister that sits behind or in front or on either side of us? If so, can we not also do the same with those outside these four walls, especially those of low estate? What would happen to this church if we, who are all pregnant with God, with life for others, gave birth this Christmas. Imagine if we dared to let God's voice be the dominant voice in our heart, God's action in our hands, and God's love on our lips. I'll tell you one thing, we wouldn't have to worry about finances in the church anymore. There would be so much life and energy, exuberance and ministry and mission that we would have to expand, not contract. There would certainly be a whole lot of singing going on. And if for a second you feel as though you are too broken, you are too lowly, or too far gone to be governed by God and impregnated with Christ, think again. Micah and Luke remind us that God uses the lowly. And the epistle from Hebrews declares that God has made us worthy recipients of God's love. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Mary's whole song is one of adoration and praise for God and God's loving action in her life and through her life. It is God, not Mary, who deserves the ultimate praise. And that is indeed what lifts her to sing. God looked upon the lowly state of Mary and of humanity and was moved with compassion to the point of action. That action required that God do the very thing that will give us our voice to sing. God empties himself and humbles himself and is made flesh, born of Mary in very humble, ordinary surroundings and very vulnerable. Jesus is needy. He is dependent upon Mary and Joseph for everything. And throughout his ministry, God will continue to act consistently as God has acted consistently throughout the history of salvation. And his act of emptying of self for the world and for us will finally reach its peak on the cross, when Jesus' own life is emptied yet again for us. God did this for you and for me, to teach us by example and to lead us to freedom and to give us our song. Reach out, if you would, to the person next to you and invite you to hold their hand as I conclude with this prayer from Luther. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. My heart for very joy doth leap, my lips no more can silence keep, I must sing with joyful tongue that sweetest ancient song. Glory to God in highest heaven, who unto man his Son hath given, while angels sing with pious myrrh, a glad new year to all the earth. Amen.